You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Can only come from you. Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
you gonna do?
Do you really think that?
Do you think it all?
Yeah. I never meant cares about
ain't
you.
Ain't giving up a second thought about you, no. Get to people.
Who you gonna turn to next?
Tell me. With your life
running like a red disease,
running like a red disease. Get to people,
stop giving up yourself,
stop doing what you're doing to yourself. Young, you got to learn to love yourself. Yeah.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we review the issues of our day from an African worldview and African centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters. In the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet, it gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement: Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted. And we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today. Hope you're going to have a good day today. Hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, will do. And I hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. And I hope the atmosphere will be conducive from a health standpoint for you to do it. But if it doesn't need to be done, then don't do it. Stay home. This coronavirus is raging across this country, particularly in the South and in the West. All throughout the South and going up into the West. Some of the biggest places that's happening is California, Texas, and Florida. And there's still people who are denying, there's still people in leadership, mayors and governors and stuff. Man, I tell you. But my boy Bolsonaro got corona. And he's taking hydroxychloroquine. I mean, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. I have moments where I, you know, because we're looking at the history, you can't help but feel mad and angry and just hope mothers die, you know? And I got that feeling with Bolsonaro when he came into office and all the things he said and what he was doing. He literally said up front, I'm going to kill these African people. I'm going to kill them. I'm going to depopulate Brazil, but get rid of all of these. I mean, this guy. And so, to me, if he got coronavirus and he's taking hydroxychloroquine, which of course was being pushed by Donald Trump and found out it didn't work. I mean, even when Trump said that way back, honestly, I don't want people to die. I sure don't want us to die. And so if hydroxychloroquine would have worked, you know, even though he would have got all the credit, and you know how he, as such an egomaniac he is, he got all the credit and he'd be putting himself up for a Nobel Peace Prize and all this other foolishness, you know, but it didn't. And in some cases, and I hope that's the case with Bolsonaro, that it don't work. That it don't work. What are you saying, Brother Oshie? You want to do that? Yeah. Yeah. I hope Bolsonaro dies from coronavirus because of his attitude, his behavior, his racist mindset, his evil intent. Bolsonaro is to the right of Trump, if you can believe that. That's how arrogant and narcissistic and evil that man is. So yeah, if he's got coronavirus, and they say that he does, and he said it, he got it, And he's taking hydroxychloroquine. That's what he said. And I don't give a damn. So if that's the scenario, because there's two places in the world that are hot with coronavirus infections and deaths. Donald Trump's America and Bolsonaro's Brazil. Let me handle this, okay? You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the very top, there's podcast. Click on that, and then you'll see the drop down, and it will have African Perspectives. Click on that, and then there will be programs that are dated and titled. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Once again, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. All times are going to give our Eastern times. On Monday night, from 6 p.m. to 8, Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming out of Philadelphia with Brother Wahad. Followed by Conversation, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. And then if it's Friday, no, there's a program now on Thursday. Black Reality Think Tank has four programs right on, Doc Rogers. Black Reality Think Tank has four programs on the Time for an Awakening Media family. They have a program on Thursday nights. Millennial sisters are talking about things that are going on. So I'm going to give a listen tomorrow, see what that is. And that's from 8 to 10. From 8 to 10, 7 to 9 Central. From 8 to 10. In fact, I think the program is called After 7. Black Reality Think Tank with the sisters. Program After 7. And then, of course, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, that's right, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Friday. And then on Saturday, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers, Weekend Edition from 4 to 6, followed by Black Reality Think Tank, the Sankofa Ancestors Council with Brother Alfonso Watkins, and that is from 6 to 8 on Saturdays. And then on Sunday, Time for an Awakening, once again, at 7 p.m. with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Monday through Friday from 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern, The Warren Valentine Show right here on Time for an Awakening Media. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African owners. Okay, get everything you need from American African businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. It is the largest online marketplace for American African owned businesses. Is WeBuyBlack.com. Went on there last week. A lot of good stuff. Of course, they got a lot of stuff as it relates to COVID-19, particularly in masks, gloves, sanitizer, all that kind of stuff. On WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans with Bomani Taihemba. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. And Brother Bomani, he still has two trips this year, November 20th through the 30th. He hasn't postponed those trips or whatever. So that trip to South Africa, November 20th through the 30th, is $3,700, I believe, still. And then the one in Ghana, December 24th to January 5th, going to Ghana, also for $3,700. Put a $400 deposit down and make your monthly payments, or how you want to do it, or just drop the whole thing, because you got it like that. And everything you need, all the information you need, paperwork, so forth, everything is on the website at Africa. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. And if you want to give Brother Monty a call, give him a call at 404 931 404-931-9429. 404-931-9429. And if you want to see pictures of previous tours, facebook.com/Bomani. You want to see videos of previous tours, youtube.com/Bomani2007. Africa for the Africans. Some rescheduled dates with Brother Minoko, as I mentioned the other day. Those rescheduled dates. He was going to, well, now they're next year, Uganda and Rwanda. Still going to Uganda and Rwanda. The new dates are January 21st through February 4th, 2021. January 21st through February 20th, to February 4th. The new dates for the Kemet trip is August 1st to August 14th. Going to Kemet, August 1st to August 14th, 2021. Brother Renoko Rashidi. Habesha Incorporated.org. Brothers and sisters, go to HabeshaIncorporated.org. They are doing the work. They definitely deserve to be supported. The projects that they have, the Habesha Works Project, Black to Our Roots, Sustainable Seeds, Urban Green Jobs, and the Golden Growers, all of these things are helping our people here and, of course, on the continent, the Kashi Project. Brothers and sisters, they are doing the work. In fact, I'm going to have a member of the Ledge Group. They're also doing the work on the continent. The Ledge Group, with agriculture and so forth. There's programs on the continent that are happening, brothers and sisters, you know? And we'll talk more about that. Yeah, Brother Nkosi, he will be my guest Friday. And other guests will also be Dr. Les, you know, so he'll be one of my guests on Friday from 11:30 to 12, and then from 12 to 1 would be Brother Nkosi with the Ledge Group. There's some activities happening this weekend. Let me finish these announcements and I'll get to that. That's how I should do that, shouldn't I? You're right. Thank you. All right. The HabeshaIncorporated.org. Shrine of Black Madonna will probably be closed to the end of the year. I'm serious. Because they don't have a handle on this madness. Why would they open? It's a damn shame. The Medu Bookstore is open in the Greenbrier Mall. I'm not sure how that's happening. I'm going to give Sister Mama Nia a call and see how she's doing or stop through. Because I was over by the mall, the Greenbrier Mall, the other day. So give her, stop in and see her, see how she's doing. But her number is 404-346-3263. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. She's open from 12 to 7. Monday through Saturday, and then from 12 to 5 on Sunday, the Greenbrier Mall. The other bookstore is Brother Gazimde Ajamu, the Black Dog Cultural Center and Bookstore, and Coffee Bar. That's right. They got coffee, teas, and sandwiches and so forth. Check him out. He's got the books that you're looking for. He also has the red, black, and green shoes, Nagaz shoes, you know. All the good stuff. So give Brother Gazimde Ajamu a call at 404-519-8107. 414-519-8107. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar located in the West End on Ralph David Abernathy. 878 Ralph David Abernathy. The number to call is 404-444-1635. 404-444-1635. They have delicious smoothies and juices and all kind of good stuff at Wadada's. And they also have We Buy Black. They have We Buy Black products. We Buy Black used to have a kiosk in the Greenbrier Mall. They no longer have a kiosk. But now their products are at Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. You can buy the soap, the toothpaste, all of the toothbrushes, the razors, all kind of good stuff right there. They have health foods in there. So check out Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar in the West End, right across the street from Soul Veg, right down the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna, right near the West End Mall. All right. They also have athletics. They have that too. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for Our People, they'll be having their Thursday night broadcast tomorrow night at 9 p.m. from 9 p.m. till 10 Eastern Time. Go to blogtalkradio.com/ULU. The program is called Dare to Win, Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for Our People in the Spirit of Ujamaa, Cooperative Economics, or as we like to say, Family Centered Economics. Give them a call. That's right. You can call in to listen, or you can call in to give your comments, questions, or concerns at 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Okay. Sanjay-Aidi, you know I support my good sister, Sister Gabriela Aurelia, who's been doing the outstanding work in the northeastern portions of the island of Haiti. Go to Sanjay, Sonje-Haiti, AYITI.org. And look at the outstanding work she's doing with education, health care, agricultural sustainability, some economic entrepreneurship, because they have a chicken farm and all kinds of good stuff that they deserve to be supported. As well as Ackerman Institute. That's right, Ackerman Institute. This definitely deserves to be supported because they're educating and developing our young warriors. Make your check or money order out to Ackerman Institute. Send it to P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. That's Ackerman Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. If you want to use Cash App or PayPal, go to Cash App or PayPal, put in the dollar sign, YYAA, the letter M, and then by Rudy. And then, bam, you can make monthly payments. Just take it out. Just have them take it out monthly, whether it's $10, $25, $50, $100, whatever you can afford, whatever your heart and whatever your conscience will let you do to help support these good efforts. Saturday, July 18th, Ackerman Institute's 6th Annual Complementarity Conference, which is going to be online. It's going to be a virtual conference, a Zoom conference. And that's going to be Saturday, July 18th from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And the cost is $10. I'm definitely going to be part of that conference, no doubt. You know, see what, because I missed the last two. I was out of town. In fact, my good friend, before she repatriated or went back home to Botswana, Sister Susumi, she attended. She came from out of town where she was staying at, and came to the conference, met a lot of nice people and so forth. And she thanked me, you know, and of course, Baba Barudi and Sister Yah thanked me for promoting, and that's what I do. I promote the things that I feel that are very important for us to be acknowledged of. You know, I really do. So, the Inye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Inye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. July 7th, there is the general failure to understand that animals behave as they do because their cerebral cortex, which is the division of the brain created to curb the animalistic behavior of the two lower brains, is not sufficiently developed in them. In humans, it is a different story. Ra Arnefa Aman. The politicized use of science by Europeans as an instrument to discriminate selected anomalies in the animal kingdom in order to show how they can come to model such behavior directly contradicts their arguments that animals and humans are such distinct groupings. Even their theories of evolution depict animals as lower, less intelligent species of living beings. Nonetheless, Europeans cite many erroneous scientific findings that claim to have identified conscious, same-sex, or otherwise perverted sexual behavior amongst animals to defend their homosexual desire to mate with themselves. They diligently search out anomalies in the animal kingdom to explain themselves as normal. Inconveniently finding humans as animals and using the selective excuse of what other animals do to rationalize and make homosexuality scientific, Europeans omit or overlook the fact that sexual perversions are found among no other animal. If animal behavior is the guide, then something is wrong with their science. They cannot be above and below animals at the same time. Affirm, I take my cues for correct behavior from my ancestors alone, for they have already done the science. Affirm, I take my cues for correct behavior from my ancestors alone, for they have already done the science. Ashe. July 8th. Plainly and simply, the purpose of living is to carry on from where our ancestors have left off and to pave the way for those yet to be born. Chinruri Kamalu. Being African is an enigmatic process, a process of building stages where each stage builds on the foundation of the other that came before it and lays the foundation for the one following it. Kamalu's remarks are descriptive of the intent of this same term, enigmatic, in the social context. They speak of carrying forward our traditions. Often those of us who have assumed responsibility for paving the way thought have to go through an enigmatic process of re-Africanization. In sequential order, these stages include encounter, where you see that the reality that you have come to put all your hope, faith, and belief in is nothing less than a massive but irretractable interconnected web of lies. The encounter. Next, denial. A refusal to come to grips with the fact that you have been systematically lied to about reality. Next, shock. When the truth can no longer be denied. You're in shock when the truth can no longer be denied. Next is anger. Anger over this and the realization that the anger must be constructively vented as we leave the comfort of our menticide. Search. Being the compulsion to find the most effective way to reverse our destruction. Study. The intensive an extensive effort to gain knowledge of self and all that seeks to destroy it. And finally, focused rage. When warriors see their preeminent responsibilities as winning their people's liberation through consciously acting on their newfound self-awareness wherever they are and in every way they can, and they do it now. Affirm, I return from the strength. Affirm, I never turn from the strength of my ancestors. I repeat, affirm, I never turn from the strength of my ancestors. The Enye Sesim of daily revolutionary thought. There's what's happening Wednesday. Like I said, I have a guest coming in. Dr. Les, and he's with the Friends of the Congo. They'll be on 11:30 to 12, talking about the Pan-African response to COVID-19 with Diallo Kenyatta, Dr. Patricia Rodney. She's with the Walter Rodney Foundation. And there are many others, Bernard Warner, and... And that's going to be Saturday, this Saturday from 12 to 2. This Saturday from 12 to 2. You can RSVP at Eventbrite, search Friends of the Congo to save a spot on the Zoom. Or tune in on Facebook Live at Congo Friends. At Congo Friends on Facebook Live. Okay. And then... Because there's another one happening. And I got to find that one for you. And then the state of Pan-Africanism during this pandemic. And this is going to be Saturday as well in the evening, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. And that is with AWADU, the World African Diasporan Union. And the host
will be my sister, Shintunye, Dr. Shintunye. Shintunye. And the presenter is Dr. Leonard Jeffries, who is WADU's president. And so that's going to be this Saturday, another Zoom meeting. And there's a pre-registration, and they got it where you tap it, and there's a lot of stuff on there. You can, you know. So there's two functions this Saturday, one at noon and the other one, one noon to two, and the other one is going to be 7 to 9. Okay? All right. Pan-Africanism. Dr. Les, and I look forward to our conversation on Friday. And then the Ledge group, Brother Nkosi, will be my guest from 12 to 1 on Friday. And the Ledge group is doing outstanding work. Go online to what the Ledge group is doing in Africa. They've done work in Ghana. They've done work in Kenya, all over Africa. And he has some exciting, and talking with him the other day, and I said, well, I'm going to tell you what, you hold a lot of this information because this is exciting. And I want the listeners to get a chance to hear what's going on and hear what is available, what they can take advantage of, you know? Because I think that the majority of my listeners, I believe that they understand what is going on, and I believe that they understand that we as African people must get out. We have to make a move because it is not happening for us here. It will never happen for us here, you know. And so then we got to think about, you know, what are we going to do? You know, like I said about Monday's program when you had, I gotta get the name of that organization again. I apologize, and I'm gonna write it down so I'll have it. But you know, I love Grandmaster Jay and his spirit, and bringing those brothers and sisters together. Like I said, the piece that went out announcing or having said that, hey, there's something that's going to happen from a brother from the Huey P. Newton Gun Club, which is out of Texas. I think it's Dallas or Houston, with either one or both probably. And he said, I, you know, through my reconnaissance, through my researching, found that there's a group of Caucasians that want to kill. Well, of course, that's not just a group of Caucasians. They want to kill us. They do. And so he got the information, put it out there, and Brother Grandmaster Jay put a call out there to brothers who are down, who got guns, who have been practicing, who shooting ranges and doing paramilitary, their former military individuals, male and females. And you can see their discipline in the videos that are shown. Now, I did see something on yesterday on the local news, and that was about a permit. They showed just a few seconds of the brothers with the guns at Stone Mountain here in Atlanta, at Stone Mountain, which has been a historical rallying point for the Ku Klux Klan. They were there. They had about 1,000 brothers, and sisters. They were lined up in file. Guns ready, black on mask, all ready, you know? And so I want to thank that brother for the work that they have done, you know? So that was outstanding, I tell you. That was outstanding. So, like I said, this is just a what's up Wednesday. What do you want to talk about? But there was something that happened that I was going through information. I saw that Jackson, who's back with Philadelphia, one of the fastest football players. I mean, this cat is fast. You know, he said something, you know, that he said something that pissed, you know, even DeSean Jackson said something that pissed off the NFL, the European Jews, because he was apparently watching the Minister Louis Farrakhan on Saturday in his address. And so Sean Jackson said something about Adolf Hitler. And, well, let me read it to you. In fact, I want to play what this young man said. But let me read a little bit of it. Former NFL, I don't know if it's a former, he's still, former NBA player Steven Jackson defended DeSean Jackson on Tuesday night, saying the Philadelphia Eagle wide receiver was speaking the truth with his controversial social media posts, including an anti-Semitic message that he attributed to Adolf Hitler. The Eagles called DeSean Jackson's post offensive, harmful, and absolutely appalling. And the wide receiver later issued two separate statements of apology and a promise to do better. So as I read the statement that the Philadelphia Eagles posted regarding DeSean Jackson's comment, he was trying to educate himself and educate people. And he's speaking the truth, right? He's speaking the truth. You know, he didn't hate nobody. And he's speaking the truth of the facts that he knows and is trying to educate others. That's what Steven Jackson said in a video post on Instagram. But y'all don't want us to educate ourselves. If it's talking about the black race, y'all ain't saying nothing about it. They killing us, police killing us, and treating us like sugar honey iced tea. Racism is at all, I don't know if it is at an all-time. I don't know if racism is at an all-time high. All I do know, when Europeans decided we war amongst ourselves, let us stop this. Let us organize, and particularly organize against those who are outside of us. And then let us come together and take their stuff. Yeah, well, that's what they did, you know. Yeah. Racism at an all-time high. But ain't none of you NFL owners spoke up on that. Ain't none of you team spokespersons spoke up about that. But the same team had a receiver, Riley Cooper, who said the N-word, I remember this, publicly. They gave him an extension. I play for the Big Three. We have a Jewish owner. He understands where we stand on some of the things we say. And it's not directed to him personally. It's the way we've been treated. He later deleted the video, but appeared to respond to backlash he received from another post to whom it may concern. Your race pain doesn't hurt more than the race nor the next race's pain. Don't act like your hardships are more devastating than ours. And you wonder why we're fighting for equality. Common sense ain't common. Truth hurts. Never waste time explaining to people who never supported you anyway. Okay. Cooper, a former Eagle receiver who is Caucasian, shouted a racial slur at an American African security guard and at a Kenny Chesney concert in 2013. He later apologized to his teammates and was signed to a 5-year extension by the Eagles. He was released by the team in 2016. Steven Jackson, who retired from the NBA in 2014 after playing 14 seasons, is in the league and winning a championship with San Antonio in 2003, has been a voice for social activism since the death of his friend George Floyd in the custody of Minneapolis police on Memorial Day. He is a former NBA analyst for ESPN. Former. DeSean Jackson spoke with the Eagles owner Jeffrey Lurie and general manager Howie Roseman, both who are European Jews, on Tuesday. A source told ESPN Tim McManus, with Lurie expressing deep disappointment, the wide receiver expressed a desire to educate himself and work directly with the European Jewish community. And a short time later, his camp contacted the rabbi, Chabad Young Philly, to discuss ways for Jackson to donate and work with the organization. Donate my ass. The controversy spawned out of Jackson's Instagram story, on which he featured a quote he attributed to Hitler that said, "European Jews will blackmail America and they will extort America. Their plan for world domination won't work if the Negroes know who they were." This piece is born out of the fact that many of our people believe, and that's why you have the Black Hebrew Israelites, that we are the members of the 12 tribes of Judah. You see, that we are. Now, not being a person who is a big promoter of theology, of religion, particularly the religions of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. You know, other three, I'd be down more with Islam than the other two. But my point being is that these theologies are not real in historical facts. They're real in terms of implementation and what they are about. But their tenets and what they are about is not real. They're not historical. The controversy summed up Jackson's Instagram story, on which he featured a quote by Adolf Hitler. And he said that they could, if the Negroes would know who they are, that plan would be squashed. He also posted, he had two posts on Instagram on Saturday and on Monday expressing admiration for Farrakhan. Oh, wow. The Anti-Defamation League and the Southern Poverty Law Center has identified as anti-Semitic. Those posts have since been deleted. On Tuesdays, he posted an apology on Instagram saying he really didn't realize what the message attributed to Hitler was saying. He probably didn't, because because that message basically means if you know who you are, then you will reclaim, if you believe that, that you are the 12 tribes of Israel, then you will say to the European Jews, that's not who y'all are, and then you will squash that. But of course, if you're Christian, you won't do that. Because if you're a Christian, you will support what the European Jews have done and are doing. Because you, as a Christian, believe that the European Jews are historical. The Anti-Defamation League of Philadelphia on Tuesday said it appreciated his apology and said it was the organization's hope he uses this moment as a chance to work with the Jewish community and to educate himself further on how dangerous and hurtful anti-Semitism is. Let's get this straight. If they ain't Jews, then they're not Semitic. They're not Semitic people. They can't be anti-Semitic. That's just like the real Semitic people are the people they displace. Because Semitic means, what does Semi mean? Half. It's just like when you are following a tournament. There's quarterfinals, quarterfinals, quarter meaning there's eight teams, and they get down to four teams. And that's the semi-final, just like the NCAA's basketball tournament, the final four. That's the semifinal. And then there's the finals, the final two teams, you see. And so semi means half. Half of this and half of that. And so Semite, Semitism, anti-Semitic, to be a Semite means that you are of that region and the European Jews, the Ashkenazi Jews, are not. The Palestinians are. The Jordanians are. The Libyans are. Not the Libyans, the Lebanese. Lebanese. You see? Stephen Jackson played in the Big Three. Da, 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 da. Okay. Okay. But there's another piece here that I want to play for you. And that is what Sean Jackson had to say. Do I have that piece there? I may not. Okay, well, oh, here it is. And this is his apology. This is Deshaun Jackson.
Verizon knows how to build unlimited right. Start with America's most awarded network. Give people more plans to mix and match at a price built for everyone. With $700 off our best phones when you switch, because everyone deserves the best.
Sorry for the commercial.
Unlimited built right.
What's going on? You know, I've been getting a lot of backlash and feedback from an Instagram post that I put on my my Instagram story. I just want to, you know, first off, extend an apology on the behalf of me and what I stand for, because you know I'm one that's fair and I never want to put any race down or any people down. And, you know, my post was definitely not intended for anybody of any race to feel any type of way, especially the Jewish community. When I posted, I definitely didn't mean it to the extent that you guys took it. And I just wanted to let you guys know that I'm, you know, very apologetic. And I just want you guys to understand that it never was intended to be, you know, to put any race down or any religion down. You know, I post things on my story all the time, and, you know, I just probably shouldn't have never posted anything that Hitler did, because Hitler was a bad person, and I know that. And, you know, I was just trying to uplift, you know, African Americans and slavery and, you know, just enlighten my people. So on behalf of myself, I just want to let you guys know I apologize. I didn't intend, you know, any harm, any hatred towards any people. I'm for one, I'm for love. And I extend it every day. People that know me know I have no hatred in my heart. And I never try to, you know, put another religion down to uplift my religion or my race. So, you know, from the bottom of my heart, I just want you guys to understand that. And it's coming from me and my feelings. And, you know, I just hopefully everybody respects my platform, my opinion, to try to just enlighten my people. And just let everybody know that there's no hatred involved. So I hope you guys understand that.
Okay. Make them apologize.
Verizon knows how to build unlimited.
That's, of course, what the European Jews have always done. Make you apologize. Marlon Brando. Make you apologize. Spike Lee. Make you apologize. Michael Jackson. Make you apologize. How dare you? How dare you speak the truth? How dare you take the cover off our ass and speak the truth? Apologize. I'm going to tell you, they ain't going to make me apologize for sugar honey iced tea. Well, of course, I'm, you know, do what I do, but I ain't apologizing for a damn thing. I ain't apologizing for nothing. Because there's no doubt about it historically, these European Jews are not I repeat, are not the Jews of the Bible. They're not the Hebrews. They're not the Jews of the story, which of course is false, of the Exodus and enslavement in Kemet. They are not. It is not true. I quoted Ra'a Nefer Amman in the Enye Sesim. Ra'a Nefer Amman, the Shekama of, he was in attendance in that discussion. Is, or did the Exodus happen? You know, European Jews or Jews? No. Were they held in captivity in Kemet? No. Ra'a Nefer Amman is a member of the Aser Society. Aser, of course, is the name of what the Greeks call Osiris, which is a god-man. There's the main god. The main god is Amun-Ra. And there's all many other gods. But the main god, the unseen, the unhidden, just like when you say a prayer. When you say a prayer in Christianity, you say what at the end of it? That's right. You say amen. When you say a prayer in Islam, you say Amin. Okay? And that is Amun. Amun. And Ra, Amun means the unseen, the hidden. Because what? That is the sun and it goes down. Ra, that's the sun rise, the ray of the sun. Ra, rays of the sun. Amun Ra. The other main god was Aser, the god man. Aser and his wife, his complement, Aset. The Greeks called him Osiris. And they call her Isis. But it is Aser Aset. I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I got another piece I'm going to play. So I guess I jumped on, even though it's supposed to be a What's Up Wednesday, but I guess I jumped on this European Jew thing. So I got a piece I'm going to play to you. Once again, letting you know that these Ashkenazi Jews who dominate and control Judaism are not. In fact, when you see the tactics used by the United States police in these various cities, they are trained by the Mossad in Israel of how the same way they treat the Palestinians, the same way they treat immigrants, the way particularly Africans, hell, even the Ethiopians. Now, they don't do too much to, and I've had Brother Dr. Ben Orr on the program, the Black Hebrew Israelites that have a city in Dimona, Israel, you know, and we talked about that, how they are treated and so forth, you know. But the bottom line is it didn't happen. So we're going to talk about that when we come back from the break. I hope that you'll stay with us. And if you have a question, if you're on, we have a number of people who are on already. If you have a question, you hit star twice and then you can ask your question. Or if you want to hang up, call back, whatever you want to do. Or if you just want to stay there and listen, I appreciate it. Believe me, I do. Okay? So, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. That's the Jazz Crusaders, Buck Dance. And the members of the Jazz Crusaders, I had the honor of seeing them many years ago, and they were still going strong, even with Randy Crawford doing Street Life, Wilton Felter, Joe Sample, Styx Hooper, Wayne Henderson on trombone, and Herbert Laws on flute. Oh, man, a bunch of good people. The Jazz Crusaders always had working with them. And this was from 1974. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media every Monday. This program, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, this program, African Perspectives, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. All times are going to give our Eastern. Acres of Diamonds on Mondays from 6 to 8, followed by Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers on Tuesday. On Thursdays, Black Reality Think Tank, the Millennials. They have a program on Thursday, and that's also from 8 to 10 on Thursday. And then on Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's right as time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Friday. On Saturdays, Black Reality Think Tank Weekend Edition, followed by Black Reality Think Tank, the Sankofa Elders Council. I'm going to probably just start using that. The Sankofa Elders Council with my good brother Alfonso Watkins. And then on Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And then every Monday through Friday from 10 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m. is the Warren Ballantyne Show right here on Time for an Awakening Media. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. Let me take a couple of the calls here. About what we're talking about, if you want to, or you want to change the subject. That's up to you. 646, good afternoon.
Odios, what's happening, brother?
What's going on, Jay? How are you, man?
I'm good, man. I just turned tuned in. I didn't know what you was talking about.
What I'm talking about is the European Jews. I caught a piece on ESPN. Where DeSean Jackson, apparently he listened to Minister Farrakhan this past Saturday on July 4th, his address, and found out about something about Hitler, about, you know, he said the European Jews are trying to manipulate and dominate, and they'll get away with it unless African people rise up, black people rise up and tell them who they really are, who we really are. Basically what he's saying is the black Hebrew Israelites, you know, that will mess up that effort. And of course, they made DeSean Jackson apologize, and just like they made Michael Jackson apologize, made Spike Lee apologize, made Marlon Brando apologize, you know, while they continue to do what they do, you know. And see, what the real deal is they're not Hebrews. They're not Jewish. They have no right or claim to the land that they've taken. But yet, because of how Christianity is manipulated by European Jews or by the Jewish concept, because, of course, Jesus was a Jew, and he was going to Jerusalem for Passover and all the other things that they supposedly do, which, of course, never happened either. That's why I'm saying these stories. Jay. And listeners, let me just tell you the problem I have. I don't care what you believe. You can have all the damn mysticism you want, all the imagery and iconography you want. But the fact is, it's not historical. It's not true. It's not real. When I mention Ra Nefer Amon, you know Ra Nefer Amon, don't you, Jay? The Shechem and Shechem, yep. Or the
Austero Society. He was a part of a group of scholars. He was a part of a group of scholars that debated, did the Exodus happen? Were so-called Hebrews enslaved in Kemet to build temples and tombs? And the fact of the matter is, no, it didn't happen. It's not historical. And that's the issue that I come with, brothers and sisters, that the theology is not historical. Christianity is not historical. And I know you know there's a number of Christian stations and churches and so forth that the foundation of what they're bringing, it has to be historical. It has to be real. If you read the part of Marimba Ani's outstanding book, which of course I say is the Bible, Urugu, there's a section in there that I've read at least three times on religion, the piece on religion. Urugu, the subtitle is An African-Centered Critique of European Cultural Thought and Behavior. We're looking at them, and we're analyzing them strategically and historically and culturally, and what they say about themselves and what they say about others. And the breakdown she did on the theological piece was outstanding. Once again, proving that it is not real. It is not historical. But because of Christianity, it has to be. And of course, you got to support. Well, how convenient that is for the European Jews. You got to support the Jews. You got to. That's part of the prophecy. I don't know if you remember back in the 80s, the prophecy was European Jews took Palestine in 1948. And using the 40-year, scenario, using the 40-year scenario, the European Jews were supposed to, at the time that Israel was going to be a state for 40 years, and then this is why Christians supported this madness, this stupidity, because at that point, Jay and listeners, the tribulation was going to happen, the rapture was going to happen, the apocalypse was going to happen, all that's supposed to happen. In 1988, based upon what they said. Well, of course, you know it didn't happen. Hell, there's been another damn 40 years, and it ain't happened. Because it ain't going to happen.
Hey, listen, the thing is this, man, and all of this talk is talk for nothing. If you don't know the history, if you can't back up what you're saying, in certain situations, you just need to keep your mouth shut. And that's the problem with people like Deshaun Jackson. They don't do no serious study. They haven't really read anything. And they just run their mouths based on certain emotions. And then they get caught in a situation where they got to back down to the daddy. Instead of being in a situation like if the Nation of Islam says something, at least they have the scholarship to back up what they're saying and be able to put forward the necessary debate. So me, myself, man, I don't listen to people like Deshaun Jackson. Now, I'll listen to a person like a David West, who I know has studied, who I know have read, if he makes that type of statement. Because number one, he's not going to back down from it. Number two, he's going to be able to present historical facts to back his point. Deshaun Watson Jackson, or whatever the hell his name is an idiot.
Well, listen, Jay, don't go there, because he's not an idiot. The deal is
he's an idiot because he couldn't even put it in its right context on what he went out there and said. Listen to his statement and put it in it has to be put in its right context. And that's why we get in trouble, because you allow somebody who's your enemy to to come back and make you go on your knees.
Well, see, I agree what you're saying, Jay. Hold on.
Historical facts to debate it.
I agree what you're saying to an extent. But I would just say that's a naive, Brother Deshaun Jackson was just naive, but he was emotionally going on what he heard Minister Farrakhan say or maybe something else that he had read. And obviously you may be right. He shouldn't have, truly right, because there's no doubt about it. In this society, particularly if you're a professional athlete, unless you want to stand on it, yeah, and you're right about David West, because David West had Medu Netcher tattoos. That brother had Medu Netcher on him, just like my guy. Rasheed Wallace. I love Rasheed. He had Medu Netcher tattoos, you know, Ankh and picture of Akhenaten and so forth. But anyway, I'm going to play this right quick. So brothers and sisters, you hold on. It's not that long. And it kind of supports what we're talking about today. At least, I mean, it wasn't intended to talk about this today, but because I saw that and I was like, once again, the European Jews making a mother bow down.
Are modern Jews descendants of the tribe of Judah, one of the sons of Jacob? Are European Jews really Gentiles whose ancestors converted to Judaism? The facts are clear now that most of those who call themselves Jews are not descendants of Jacob, whose name was later changed to Israel, and therefore have no claim to the land of Palestine. The October 29, 1996 New York Times, in an article entitled Scholars Debate Origins of Yiddish and the Migrations of Jews, states, the Eastern European Jews were not really Semitic, that they were largely descended from the Turkish Khazars, who converted to Judaism in medieval times. Therefore, modern Jews have no blood link to the biblical Israelites. Jewish historians have established that at least 90% of all Jews come from a Turkish mix of people and are largely sourced from the Khazar kingdom. The Jewish scholar Arthur Kolster provided overwhelming evidence in his book titled The 13th Tribe, showing that in the 8th century, Khazaria, which was greatly made up of the Turkish mixed people known as Khazars, converted to their national religion of Judaism, which was based on the Babylonian Talmud. He states in his book that the Khazar Empire, which in the Dark Ages became converted to Judaism, Khazaria was finally destroyed by Genghis Khan and his Mongol hordes, but evidence indicates that the Khazars themselves migrated to Poland and formed a Western Jewish community. They eventually migrated to other places like Germany and Russia.
Christian churches and the general public have been deceived. Many Jewish historians are now admitting that they are not the true Hebrews of the Bible. And how can they be returning to the land of Israel when they were never there to begin with?
The goal of creating a homeland for Jews seemed like a noble pursuit in 1897 when the Zionist movement became officially established. However, their dream of returning to Palestine has become a nightmare of violence, and there is no end in sight. Worse yet, the concept that Palestine is their homeland has turned out to be a tragic mistake. These white-skinned Ashkenazi Jews are not descendants of the original Jews of Palestine. There were no white people in Africa or Palestine 2,000 years ago. The medieval Europeans assumed that Jesus Christ, his mother, and the other original Jews looked just like the Europeans, which is why you can find Jesus with blue eyes and green eyes, and why his mother has such white skin.
Hey, guys, the gig is up. I'm not the real Jesus. As a matter of fact, the fella's name wasn't even Jesus. He had a Hebrew name. There wasn't a letter J until a few hundred years ago. With that being said, I have fooled the whole world into the biggest sham of all time. The name and identity of the real fella has been taken over by me. There are thousands of paintings of Jesus, and they don't even come close. Jesus was the creation of the Roman Catholic Church, which served to replace the real fella, who probably looked more like Morgan Freeman. But who cares? The truth doesn't matter, as long as you pay your tithes. Gotcha.
In 1976, Random House published a book that should have hit Christians like a storm, but instead, they chose to ignore it. It dealt with the racial origin of the people calling themselves Jews, and whom the churches and the Jews themselves generally insist are God's chosen people. Since the late 1800s, a number of Bible scholars who were also students of history have insisted the church denominations were wrong, that instead of being Israelites, these Jews from Eastern Europe descended from Mongolians that were actually Turkish people who had adopted Judaism as their religion over 1,000 years ago and had become known as Jews. These Bible scholars were ignored or condemned and often called cultists or anti-Semites. The 13th tribe proves beyond doubt that modern Jews are not biblical Israelites. Every church member in America should insist that their pastor investigate these claims. Henry Ford, founder of the Ford Motor Company, assembled a staff of experts to research the origin of European Jews who had been entering America in large numbers since the 1880s. Ford's research cost him several millions of dollars, and in 1923, he published the results in a four-volume work titled The International Jew. It was Henry Ford's conclusion that the Jews were not descendants of the biblical Israelites. Ford further proved that these Jews, committing all sorts of crimes while under the cover of being called chosen people of the Bible, were rapidly taking economic and political control of America. Henry Ford also claimed that the Jews had secretly gained control of most Protestant seminaries and Christian book publishing houses and had been able to remove almost all criticism of Jews from Christian literature. In summing up his findings, Henry Ford stated, "The Jews are not the chosen people, though practically the entire church has succumbed to the propaganda which declares them to be so." Ford's book caused a major uproar for a few years, but soon disappeared from colleges, universities, and public libraries and became unobtainable at any price. The churches continued to teach the lie that the Jews are God's chosen people, the children of Israel. Jewish-dominated news media began to refer to Jews always as Israelites. Anyone opposing the Jewish control of the nations was immediately branded anti-Semitic. And Jewish-dominated seminaries taught new ministers to quote Genesis 12, verse 1 through 3, and sternly warned their flocks that anyone speaking unfavorably of the Jews would be cursed by God. Jewish control of American society, politics, and religions continued to increase. In 1951, retired U.S. military intelligence officer Colonel John Beatty published a scholarly book titled Iron Curtain Over America. Colonel Beatty gave overwhelming evidence that the Eastern European Jews were actually Khazars and had no racial ancestry in Israel at all. In Colonel Beatty's book, he states that by 1951, these Jews had a stronghold on American politics, on banking and credit, on all sources of news, on the entertainment industry, on America's education system, and that they were the predominant race as judges, lawyers, doctors, and organized crime. The Jewish news media refused to review the book. Jewish book dealers refused to handle it. Christian bookstores ignored it, and only a few thousand copies were distributed. Most Americans never heard of Iron Curtain Over America. Now, because of renewed interest, both are now obtainable.
Jewish gangsters getting rich off running illegal liquor across the Detroit River from Canada. They were legends in the criminal underworld of America, and their name rang bells from St. Louis to New York. They also killed 500 people, according to the police. Al Capone sent for them to help him murder six people in the infamous St. Valentine's Day Massacre. In 1925 alone, police recovered 53 dead bodies from the Detroit River. The Purple Gang was never a tightly organized criminal syndicate, but a loose confederation of predominantly Jewish gangsters, more like modern African-American criminal groups than the Italian mafia. The last vestiges of the Purple Gang were finished when Harry Milman, feared Purple Gang assassin, was himself shot down at Boesky's Deli, November 25th, 1937, on the corner of 12th Street and Hazelwood.
In 1977, Colonel Curtis B. Dahl published a book titled Israel's $5 Trillion Secret. He was the former son-in-law of Franklin Delano Roosevelt and a personal acquaintance of many high officials in the U.S. government since the 1930s. Colonel Dahl proves again, from reliable sources, that the Jews are not Israelites. In fact, Colonel Dahl calls their masquerades as Israel the greatest hoax of the last centuries. It should be read by every non-Jew.
Now, what are the facts? The Jews, I call them Jews to you because they're known as Jews. I don't call them Jews. I refer to them as so-called Jews because I know what they are. Certainly, our Lord and Savior was not one of them, and I can prove that. Now, what happened? The Eastern European Jews, who form 92% of the world's population, of those people who call themselves Jews, were originally Khazars. They were a warlike tribe that lived deep in the heart of Asia. And they were so warlike that even the Asiatics drove them out of Asia into Eastern Europe.
There's a scripture in the Bible that most scholars skip over. Revelation chapter 2, verse 9. I know the blasphemy of them that say that they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. The Bible scholars would have you believe that in 95 AD, there were individuals calling themselves Jews in order to join the church at Smyrna. But notice, the Jews met in a synagogue. They did not need to join the church of Smyrna. If the Jews who created the state of Israel in 1948 were not the true Israelites of the Bible, but Gentiles whose ancestors converted to Judaism, then wouldn't it be true to say that this so-called regathering of Israelites is but one big lie? And that the true Israelites, God's people, have not yet returned in these last days, because those Jews have only assumed the identity of the true Israelites. Many Arabs today are aware that these are imposters that dwell in the land, and they want them out of Israel.
Any comments on Israel? We're asking everybody today. Any comments on Israel?
Tell them to get the hell out of Palestine.
Ooh. Any better comments?
Remember, these people are occupied, and it's their land, not German, it's not Poland.
So where should they go? What should they do?
They go home.
Where's the home?
Poland.
So the Jews,
Germany.
You think Jews go back to Poland and Germany?
And America and everywhere else.
This is why Jamal Abdul Nasser, the former president of the United Arab Republic, said in 1956 that he could not respect the Jews because they left Israel black and came back white. What are they? They are the synagogue of Satan. Christians don't recognize this because they are deceived. They are sending millions of dollars over to Israel each year, thinking that they are helping God's people, but instead, they are funding the synagogue of Satan. Christian churches and the general public have been deceived. Jewish historians are now coming forth stating that they are not the true people of the Bible, and how can they be returning when they were never there to begin with? The scriptures make it clear that the true Israelites would not be back in their land until the Messiah returns. Have you seen the Messiah walking around here lately?
Lord, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness.
The scripture also explains that Jerusalem shall be trodden down of Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled.
They shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled.
My question to you is this. When did the so-called Jews that we see in the land today get led away as slaves into all nations? Captive means slaves. When were the Jews today led as slaves into all nations? This never happened to the so-called Jews. The so-called Jewish Holocaust was not a slavery. As a matter of fact, other people died in the war, including blacks, Germans, those that were handicapped and mentally ill. There are huge questions surrounding the 6 million figure of people that were killed in the Holocaust that's been thrown down for decades. That's another subject that needs to be researched. Research the truth about the Holocaust, and you will definitely begin to question what you thought you knew. Now, I got another question for you. Didn't these so-called Jews reject the Messiah? So as a whole, the Jews do not accept Yahshua, the one that the world called Jesus, as the Messiah. And according to the scriptures, the curses of Deuteronomy 28 should be evident in their lives. But instead, they are the richest, most powerful people on the face of the earth. I leave you with this scripture. I know thy works, tribulation, and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them that say that they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan, who call themselves Jews, who worship in a synagogue. I rest my case.
Hey, did you know that Pope Alexander VI commissioned Leonardo da Vinci to reinvent Jesus in the image of his own beloved son, Cesare Borgia? He felt that the Vatican needed a makeover because the real fella wasn't too appealing to the general public. So, voila, here I am, the modern version of the fake Jesus. Got you again.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, I've heard that piece many times. And so if you want to get in on this conversation, you want to hit star twice, and I'll let you in so we can have some dialogue. If anybody wants to do that, Brother Marcus, 602, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Brother Oshie.
Good afternoon, you Brother know, Marcus.
These Jews, they are one of black people. Biggest arch enemy, and they pose as our friend.
Right.
You know, it was a
exactly.
judge. It was a Zionist judge, Judge Julian Mack, and a prosecutor, a Jewish prosecutor that sent Garvey to jail. See, that sentenced Garvey, Judge Julian Mack, a Zionist Jew, that sent Garvey to jail. And these Jewish people have been using black people as a buffer in America. You see, they keep, that's who is the force that keep black people looking inside of America. Because they know if black people were not here, that rage that the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant have would be turned, would be directed towards them.
Well, yeah.
See, so they...
But see, so see, Marcus, you're right, because even as their being here, if we were not here for them, for Caucasians to just jump on Europeans to just jump on us, they would have jumped on the European Jews.
Exactly. So they keep us here as a buffer between them and the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant. They keep us. They are the people that's doing it. But I remember in the 1990s when that brother there, Dr. Tony Martin.
Right,
they
Tony
attacked
Martin.
Him.
Yeah.
Yes, they attacked him. And he had to come out with, he wrote that book, The Jewish Onslaught.
Right.
And he came out with that broadside, All Them Jews Ran. You see? Mm-hmm. And there is another man, that's Benjamin Franklin. People need to go read up what Benjamin Franklin said about these Jews. See? What Benjamin Franklin said about them. So these people are not our friends. They never have and never were. Never been, you see, 48th Street down here in New York. Who run that diamond district? Jews. How many diamond mines are there in Israel?
None.
Diamond mines?
Zero. Where do you get the diamonds
Zero.
From? South
exactly.
Africa. South Africa.
Namibia.
Right.
Where they decimate black people to get that. You know, so...
In fact, the largest traders in diamonds in the world are European Jews.
Exactly.
They dominate and control the diamond industry. Like there are a number of things that they dominate and control in spite of their low numbers. And of course, who gets the most aid from America? Your so-called tax dollars? Who gets it, Marcus?
Israel.
Exactly. Israel.
Yeah, because Israel is America's satellite in the Middle East. They are America's eyes and ears in the Middle East. But, you know, these people, they are pathetic. Anyway, good brother, take care. Thank you.
Thank you, Marcus. Thank you, dear brother. 447-447. Good afternoon or good evening.
Good afternoon. Good morning to you, Brother Ochi. How are you this morning?
Brother Paul, I'm well. Thank you.
Great. You know, good morning to all the listeners. You know, Brother Marcus stole my thunder. I was actually going to bring in Tony Martin and the fabulous work he done and his persecution by the said Zionist order. You understand? But he done some outstanding work.
Yes.
And he did actually write the book, Jewish Onslaught. He also... credited the work by the Nation of Islam.
Mm-hmm. The secret relationship between blacks and Jews, two volumes.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely. And for anybody who don't know Tony Martin, they can go online and look at when they challenged him to authenticate his work. And there's a great video online at the Marriott Hotel where he explains that how he collated his research and went to the Jewish institutions and how they treated him as if to suggest why should he be there. And, you know, most of his material he put together came from their own records.
Mm-hmm. Listen. You know, that's the one thing. They have stated who they are openly, and yet people, because of their religious belief, particularly Christianity, because Judaism manipulates Christianity, and there's a deep association. And so people in the church, particularly fundamentalist Christians, believe, and because they Caucasian, we Caucasian, and of course everything we got in our damn book is Caucasian. So we agree that these are the Jews of the Bible. These are the Jews of the Bible, you see. And we're going to support it because in the Bible it said you must support these people. And being good Christians, that's what they have done, you see.
But it's not just the Christians they manipulate. They manipulate the Muslims too.
Yeah.
Islam.
Yes.
I mean, if Saudi the current line in Saudi Arabia, which was put there by the British, the Saudi family, they're Jewish. They have Jewish descent.
Well, supposedly they are because they come from the seed of Abraham. Abraham is the father of all three religions. See, of the so-called hemorrhagic religions of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. The root is Abraham, which, of course, is another person that these people has never existed historically. And for me, that's the biggest issue. Because you can believe what you want to believe, Paul. I don't care. But when you impose your beliefs on others, that becomes the issue. You can worship a damn tree or a rock. I don't give a damn. But when you impose that belief and make others believe that, then there's an issue. Then there's a problem. You see?
You know, one of the biggest insults, and it's a real slap in the face, is that I'm sure it's the same in the U.S. as well, that on the curriculum, on the school curriculum, the children are forced to learn about the Jewish Holocaust. But yet, no mention of the same people's role in slavery.
Right.
And the
Jews had a huge role in the enslavement of African people. Huge role.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I learned an actual fact from reading the Secret Relationship Between the Blacks and Jews, the first book. I learned, right, something which most Jamaican people, trust me, Brother Ochi, most Jamaican people have no idea of this, what I'm about to tell you. And I learned it from reading that book, that a place called Suriname.
Suriname, yeah.
Suriname is,
In South America. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. That was where they put, according to the Secret Relationship for the Blacks and Jews, it says that that's where they had their most successful slave port. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And what was happening is the Dutch, because most of them come from that part of Europe, the Dutch were contemplating that they weren't paying taxes because they considered that a Dutch colony. And so they sent in their tax collectors to get the money and put pressure on them. And then they actually moved from there to Jamaica. And I never heard that story until I read it in the Secret Relationship Between Black and the Jews. And that was that. And anybody I've spoke to about this or of Jamaican heritage, they haven't got a clue about this.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually went online. and I was actually shocked to see how many synagogues was in Jamaica. I had no idea. That was the case. You know, I spoke to my grandparents and all that, and they didn't seem to know. And I saw the pictures on there, and even go as far as to say, you know, we've had Siago and other people who supposedly come from Syria, but they're Jewish too.
Yeah.
They were Jewish and nobody knew. No, I've never heard that.
Yeah.
So these people are very good at hiding.
Oh, yeah.
Hiding their identity and... pulling the string. So, you know, it's a very, very, very valuable point you raised. And, you know, I don't know. But they have been using us. They've been using, even right now as we speak, Black Lives Matter
right.
is a Trojan horse.
George Soros, European Jews.
Absolutely. Being used by them, Brother Ochi, right? And I'm going to say this again. Just recently, you have one of the biggest insurance companies in the world, right? Saying that they're talking about reparations, but that what they're talking about is not really reparations in effect. You understand? That is not reparations. And the reason why I think they're talking about it is because of this Trojan horse, Black Lives Matter, because they intend to position themselves in a way that they will have to pay out, and they will pay out, but they're going to pay it to the representatives, the Trojan horse, which goes right back into their pocket.
Wow. So... So Lloyds of London. So it's a trick. It's a Jedi mind trick.
Of course it's a trick.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, it's these companies, not just Lloyds of London, many of them, they're all talking all of a sudden, putting articles in the paper. Oh, yeah, we're considering paying reparations and whatever. And but that is not reparations. Reparations is a legal remedy for under international law where governments,
right,
decide to pay, not company, you understand? So, yeah, that's a good token. But really, in truth, this is a setup because they are positioning themselves, you know, to receive that. And those Black Lives Matter representatives, the LGBTQP alphabet group, they are the agents for, unfortunately, they're the agents for the Zionist order.
And see, that's something that those of us here in the States, particularly when we look at Black Lives Matter, a lot of us don't have a clue who Black Lives Matter is. A couple of weeks ago, I went on their website. I read from their website who they are, what they stand for, and so forth. And so I'm not making stuff. I don't make stuff up. And I'll tell you this, Brother Paul and our listeners, I don't give you my opinion on stuff. Because my opinion is deeply profane. I would just be like cussing like you wouldn't believe, Jay. But what I try to do is do some research. I'm not a great researcher, but I try to do is give you the perspective of African people, which is of our scholars, our historians, our elders, our ancestors, which is profound, what they have done of a Dr. Clark and a Dr. Ben. It is profound, you know, Dr. Tony Martin. So I don't give you my opinion. So when I'm throwing it out there, it is something that has been researched that I know. I'm not just flying off the handle. And I sure as hell ain't scared. I ain't, like I said, I ain't apologizing. I ain't taking nothing back one bit. Not one damn bit. Especially because when I look at the history and know what was happening to African people. And this is what they're doing to African people. So no, you know, I'm going to just continue to put the information out and hopefully our brothers and sisters will understand it and know who is who and what is what and begin to close ranks, pull our resources, and be ourselves wherever we are. I think the greatest threat to European dominance, and that includes European Jews, that includes all the theologies, that even includes Islam. The greatest threat is African unity and an African historiography, an African social theory. That is the greatest threat. And it could happen if we open our damn minds, open our eyes, open our minds, open our hearts. It could happen. But if we're going to survive as a people, it must happen. And it better happen sooner than later, because ain't shit promised to us. And the way these systems are, you know, believe me, they would love to just get rid of us. When you're talking about putting yes, go ahead, Paul.
No, I just want to say this here. You know, when I was doing my research for, you know, just researching the facts when I was reading the book, Secret Relationship Between the Blacks and Jews, a quite shocking, quite disturbing thing I found here. I don't know if you're aware, Minister Farrakhan, his father comes from Jamaica. Are you aware of that?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why he plays calypso music.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's his origin.
The thing is, right, on a Jewish website, I actually found that they were speaking quite highly of him, what I found quite unusual. And they actually pointed out on the website that his father comes from Jamaica. And I've just spoke to you about the relationship between the Jews and Jamaica. Mm-hmm. Well, people just need to go and do their own research, because what I was reading on there was quite disturbing. I'll just say that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let me get another guy in this. Just hold on, Paul, okay? I'm going to get Jay in this conversation. Jay, what's up?
Hey, listen, Oshi, man, to me, I don't pay the Jew no mind, man. The Jew gonna do what he gonna do. America gonna do what they gonna do in regards to the Jew. And all I care about is we not dealing with the Jew. I mean, you know, there's no substance relationship there with the Jew. All the Jew ever do to African people is bloodsuck them. And the bottom line is, if we continuously look to defend them bastards, then that's our problem and our issue. But that's what we do with everybody. We allow people to mistreat us, abuse us, use us, do all sorts of things. For what reason, I'll never understand. And we never challenge them. We never deal with them on the level that they should be dealt with. And, you know, I'm going to have to say this, and I know people may take issue with it. It's time for Minister Farrakhan to sit his ass down, man. Put new leadership out there. Put new people out there. He's like a recycled car, man.
Well, you know, he's
like that car that they have in Cuba. It's steady. It works. You got to go through a whole lot to keep it running. But hey, man, it still gets the job done. And that's what Farrakhan is, man. I mean, you know, I listened to his speech on Saturday, and I have to tell you, man, you know, I'm not going to lie. It's a disappointment to me, because 20, 30 years ago, I heard him give a speech that was,
you know, fire and brimstone.
Oh, yeah.
Like a
fiery fire. That's right. Fiery fire con. That's magic. Right.
Mm-hmm. It was spitting fire. This show that he put on Saturday is something for a relic, man. Come on. Get some young cat that got that same type of fire you used to have back in the day to go out there and, you know, deal with the sheep, man. Yeah. I mean, come on, man. So you know, everybody talk about Farrakhan. Yes, he's a great man. Yes, he did some good things. But listen, it's time for the man to go take his
You know, Jay, that's what I always advocate. That's what I always advocate is succession plan. You know, there comes a time where, you know, you as a leader, you as the head, you as the minister, you as whatever, there's a time that you must step down and some younger folks come up to keep the thing going, to keep the movement happening, you know. And I agree with you. I think Farrakhan, and I listened to the presentation this past Saturday myself, and I know he was a little weary and maybe hot outside, and he had to sit down, and, you know, and his speech didn't have a good flow to it. And basically, a lot of times what it was, you know, threatening the European Jews and threatening America and threatening Europe, you know.
You don't pay them no mind, man. If the Jew, let me tell you something. Let's keep it 100. If the Jew was concerned about Farrakhan in any way, the Mossad would have got rid of his black ass already. Get out of here. Ain't nobody thinking about Farrakhan gonna do anything to nobody, man. If the truth be told, and let's be very, very clear on this, those of us who really understand history and how history works, if Farrakhan was ever a real threat to this country, he would not be in the position that he's in. Always remember that. Look at someone like A-Trap Brown. You see what they did to A-Trap Brown. You understand? Don't think they can't do it to him and do what they did to Kwame Ture and they've done to others. If Farrakhan was really a threat, as far as I'm concerned, and I may be wrong, I believe Farrakhan is a government agent put here to keep Negroes in control and under a certain degree of control based on the perceived that he's some sort of threat. Because if that wasn't the case, it ain't no way in hell, no way in hell, and I'll say this to my dying day, that Chicago on the south side where his organization is at should be going through the fratricide that they're going through based on what the Nation of Islam Security Force did back in the day until the United States government shut them down. And I saw it here in New York in Brooklyn, how the members of the nation with no guns or anything went in there and got rid of the crack dealers and all of that. So if they really, really about it, that's what would be going on today in Chicago. I don't care what nobody says.
And the same thing what they did in Philadelphia. Nation of Islam went up in Philadelphia.
And Philadelphia was, and to be honest with you, Philadelphia was under more of a violent threat because of the Black Mafia and what they were doing, which were members of the Nation of Islam.
Right.
So listen,
exactly.
Let's don't play no games about Farrakhan and what he really is. Because if you're supposed to have that much power and you have the type of track record that they had in regards to how they took care of and built up these communities and did the things that they did, then there ain't no way in hell that they not supposed to be in Chicago where it's their base, making systematic changes on the
Chicago
south side. Don't play no games.
Chicago on the south side, and on the west side, they have been basically the murder capital of this country for the last few years.
Yeah.
Every weekend or every holiday weekend, which of course gives you, you know, a day or another day or two. I mean, they've had ridiculous numbers of shootings and deaths. Last week there was like 80 something shootings and about 14 deaths. It's ridiculous. And this whole weekend, this whole so-called holiday weekend, this past holiday weekend, it was shootings all across the country here in Atlanta. And seven children have died, were killed in crossfires this past weekend.
The nation could go into Chicago communities and stop what's going on in a matter of 6 months. They've already shown that they know how to deal with the people. They know what to do. There's a degree of fear on the part of those gangbangers and all other organizations. I always look at it this way. Remember the television show The Wire?
Yeah, Baltimore.
Remember Brother Musar?
Yeah, the brother in Baltimore. Yeah.
Perfect example of what I'm talking about. The brothers feared Brother Musar. They knew the discipline. They knew the structure. I mean, they went into Brooklyn and did it, bruh. Mm-hmm. The government, that stinking filthy Jew, Peter King, shut them down. You know, and then what happened? Months later, the violence, the drugs, and everything came back to that community. Mm-hmm. They got rid of it. So if you're really about systematically changing the condition of black folks, and you're really supposed to be this powerful individual, you're supposed to have your members, your sheep, your flock, go in there and do what has to be done. Mm-hmm. And then the United States government would have to come up to the plate and say, we support fratricide. That's the way it's supposed to vote. Go down, brother. You're not supposed to let the United States government get away with the killing that's going on in your community if you have a viable solution to solve the problem. But hey, they ain't about that.
Yeah.
They're about talking.
Right.
I mean, let's keep it real.
All right.
Hotep, brother.
Hotep, Jay. Thanks a lot. Brother Paul, got any last words, man? Brother Paul, he's gone already. Okay, I'll take
Hello?
Go ahead.
Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead, Brother Paul.
I'll just say quickly, to Brother Jay, here comes Johnny. Oh, man.
I know he's laughing. Go ahead, man.
What would we do without Brother Jay? You know, man.
Paul,
fantastic.
Hold on. Paul, when you say here comes Johnny, do me a favor. Use a black man if you want to do that. Here comes Richard, or here comes Eddie, or here comes someone else. Don't equip me with a cracker, please.
Wow. Anyway, take care. Brilliant. Keep up the good work. Keep the fire burning.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, Paul. Brothers and sisters, I appreciate all those who have listened, all those who have called. I recognize some of the callers who just wanted to listen. And of course, all you have to do is hit star twice. You can get in, or you can hang up and call back. And that lets me know that you want to get in to make comments, questions, or concerns. And I appreciate that. Brothers and sisters, I didn't want to do this program today. It's just something I had. Just going to talk about something else, but then I saw this thing with Deshaun Jackson and how the Jews consistently, if you say something, will constantly make you publicly apologize and prostrate yourself and, you know, in shame, you know, and because the reality is, to me, the European Jews, although the influence they have is tremendous, the ability they have, all the things they do, the training of the police in this country is by European Jews, the Mossad in Israel. That's why you see how oppressive they are. That's why this is no longer, protect and serve. Now it's comply or die. So we have to understand these dynamics and who these folks are. The more we know, the better we're able to think and move in the right direction. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people has all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell don't want to pay for it. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shimhotep means go in peace. Esante Sana means thank you. Bibi Vahode means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Remember, this Friday I have the brother Nkosi from the Ledge Group and talking about what they're doing in Africa, and also Dr. Shu. Well, the brother from the Friends of the Congo, because they're having a conference this weekend, and we're going to be part of that. So we're going to talk about that. All right. You have a blessed and wonderful day. Peace, family.